Last week, I deferred this ordinance to allow staff to just better work on the language and in the ordinance, and I believe they have. And I wish to thank staff for all the work they've done. You guys have done a lot of work towards this ordinance, and I think now we have a much better ordinance. So I think Everett's going to read the ordinance in.
Okay.
Now we're going to go on from there.
Okay, sure.
An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Zoning, Article 3, Provisions Applicable to All Districts, Article 4, AR1 and AR2, Agricultural Residential Districts, and Article 25, Supplementary Regulations with respect to the calculation of permitted density. And it's my understanding there's that's the original introduced ordinance, and there's going to be some discussion of a proposed amendment as you had requested the staff to work on in accordance with what was learned at the public hearing.
Correct. Council, for your benefit, at your desk is a copy of the ordinance we're referencing today. So we're working off the same document. At the top, there is a box, text box, that says 11/27/2018 version. And I believe we have the language there on the PowerPoint now.
Yep. There we go. So this language that you see here, actually, this paragraph is repeated throughout sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. Well, 4 is when it becomes effective, of the ordinance, because it appears in several places. It appears in the calculation of density section of the code. It appears in the cluster section of the code. It appears in the environmentally sensitive development district section of the code. As Mr. Burton stated, staff's looked at this, and what's proposed, and I have a motion to accomplish this, is to remove the reference to perennial non-tidal rivers or streams, and then also remove the reference to non-tidal wetlands. And then actually what we do is there's a little grammatical change. We move that word "or" up in that list of things. But that's the change that we've proposed. After taking into account all the information from the public hearing and the discussion with council in several prior meetings. So if there's agreement, what I can do is go ahead and read the motion that takes care of those revisions, and I suppose there would be discussion.
Yes. Can I ask one question? Is the first motion entertaining just this language, or also the amendment in the synopsis language?
No, it's just taking care of this line.
Okay. What? Two then?
No, because the synopsis is just administrative. That doesn't need
okay.
to be done.
Okay. Thank you.
And what this does not get into changing any of the definitions. This just strikes language in the proposed ordinance that was originally read, that was originally, they had the public hearings on, and the public commented on.
That's correct. Okay. So I believe Mr. Moore's read the short title.
Yes.
So what we'll do is read this motion to make those changes, and then he'll, if that's approved, read the short title again to adopt the ordinance, right, or to act on the ordinance. So again, it's a motion to delete, quote, perennial non-tidal river or stream, close quote, and, quote, non-tidal wetlands, close quote, from the introduced ordinance. Be it moved that the words, quote, perennial non-tidal river or stream, close quote, are deleted from lines 47, 67, 97, and 98, 127 and 128 and 181 of the introduced ordinance, and, quote, or non-tidal wetlands, close quote, are deleted from lines 48, 68, 98, 128, and 182, and that the word, quote, or, close quote, shall be inserted prior to, quote, tidal wetlands, close quote, at lines 47, 68, 98, 128, and 181 of the introduced ordinance.
So we need someone to make that motion.
Motion to make that amendment. Motion, Mr. Burton.
Make that motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? This is the motion to amend. Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
Mr. Cole.
Oh, yes.
Although, yes, motion carried. Next.
Then we would read the short title as amended, an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Zoning, Article 3, provisions applicable to all districts, Article 4, AR1 and AR2 agricultural residential districts, and Article 25 supplementary regulations with respect to the calculation of permitted density as amended by the motion made by Mr. Burton and passed by council.
Just to make sure I understand this correctly on the what we amended, did that also include in the synopsis of adding the word title and wetlands?
We will make that revision to the synopsis separately because that's actually not part of the text.
Okay,
of the
that's fine. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett. Had that motion? You made the motion. No.
I made the motion.
Yeah.
And he seconded.
Okay.
No, wait.
No, we
need another one.
Yeah.
Well, right.
I was trying to get, yeah,
okay.
I knew you wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Second, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Question on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
I'm going to read a little pre-ramble.
You go right ahead.
I introduced this ordinance, and like most ordinances, they're made up of change. Change is not always welcome, but sometimes change is needed, and change takes courage. I remind council that we represent the entire county as well as our individual districts. This ordinance seeks to change the way Sussex County calculates density. The way we currently calculate density is on the total acreage. This will not change if the site contains no state title wetlands. If this ordinance is passed, the density calculation on lands with state title wetlands will be determined after subtracting out the state title wetlands. The state title wetlands are described in this ordinance that we just adopted. So if passed, it'll be a change. This ordinance looks at the county holistically. We have to ask ourselves if we are mining out the beauty and heritage of the county we all know and love. Addressing the density of development in our most critically environmentally sensitive areas is a small step towards preserving and protecting our environment. This ordinance has been on the books since the 80s. Sussex County has changed since then, and it will continue to do so. The environment has changed, and it will also continue to do so. I'm not sure which one is changing faster, but it is undisputably both are changing, and it is irresponsible for us to ignore these changes. Decisions such as these are difficult for us as elected officials. We are faced with deciding between quality of life and property rights. Both are equally important to me as I know they are to all of you. This ordinance is a balance between the two. It maintains property rights while protecting the environment. The interesting thing is the environment protects our property values, and we should do whatever we can to protect the environment. I am voting in favor of this ordinance.
Thank you, sir.
What did you say about property rights?
Mike, this vote is for the change of language, not for the ordinance.
No.
This is for the ordinance.
We already had the vote for the amendment.
This is as amended.
It's reaffirmed.
Yeah. Yes. Mr. Wilson, your vote, sir?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Albo, yes. Motion carried. Next, you have the synopsis, I guess?
No, like I said, we don't need to act on that. Okay. Because that's just administrative.
Okay, you can administrative, but you're going to, yes. That's what you're going to do, though.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so everybody's understand what's in that we're going to exclude tidal wetlands in the synopsis.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Stan, just take a second.
Yep, no problem.
Is that for like me to get over the shock?
I want you to get over the shock. Yeah, I want you to get your heart beating back and everything okay. Now then, after we've just accomplished this, I think that was step one. And step two is going to be to deal with buffers and definitions and anything else planned for buffers. So I'm going to ask the county administrator. We had a group that he put together that certainly did a very good job on our ordinance for roads and drainage. I'd like to do the same thing for buffers, put a group together, and hopefully to bring back some kind of recommendations by the end of the first quarter. Sometime in the first quarter, I don't care if it's February, March, whatever it is. Anybody questions on that?
Yeah, I would. I would say that
get carried away.
I know that my 20 to 40 ordinance would then be on a pause to hopefully fold it into this newly formed group. So I made the statement that I would bring that to a vote with this council, and I'm just going to put that on a stay right now until this group figures out what they are doing.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah, we have a comment, Mike.
Mr. Arlett?
Yeah, I just, because before we move off of these ordinances, second to the last meeting, so this may be the last time I have an opportunity to speak of these ordinances. I think it is really critical that the future council, beyond the future councils, I think in the end, to Mike's point, I think we have a very good template that we have had in this council with regard to the drainage ordinance networking group. And I think it behooves this council of the future to respect the public and respect the process. And I think it's really important that we get it right with regard to the process and not just doing things for the sake of doing things. I think we have got to ensure that we have all stakeholders to be participating in the process, because if it is worth doing, it is worth doing right. And I think I agree with Councilman Burton that yes, this county has changed and it will continue to change. And the people that make up the county will continue to change. So therefore, I think it's really, and the makeup of this council will continue to change. So I think it's important that we have a very valid template for all future to include these working groups. Because if it's worth doing, it is worth doing right. Let's take our time. Let's bring everybody together to have these adult conversations so we can ensure that we do get it right. So that's my thought with regard to moving forward.
Thank you, sir.
And I do appreciate Councilman Burton, his hard work and his efforts, and the staff with regard to their effort to continue to evolve. But I would caution everybody to focus on the process.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Cole?
let me just respond. I take a different take on that. I think that when you're an elected official and you've been exposed to what we've been exposed to over the years, some things are easier decisions than others. And for a council like ours not to be able to make an adjustment from a current buffer, which is 20 feet, to the recommendation is 40 feet or somewhere in between. A lot of times it's even less. But for us to have to form a committee to go through the time that's involved, bringing in the people sitting around to talk about this issue, I think is a waste of time. I think that we should be able to make simple decisions like this. This is not that complicated. There are things out there that are complicated, that have a lot of different nuances and different things like this. But when something, by increasing the buffer, which will, in my opinion, benefit the quality of life here in Sussex County, not impact the density to the developers, is something that's very simple, and I hate to see the future councils bogged down on simple issues with forming committees because they're fearful to make a decision, a yes or no, or have a, without having something to back them up. So I mean, on this one, I just don't see the reason. No offense, it's an easy way to do it, but I just think that there are issues, committees are warranted. The billboard thing was pretty tricky. This isn't tricky. So, that's just a different take on that issue. So those are my 2 cents.
Thank you, sir. Your 2 cents are certainly appreciated.
So, George, did you go off your guard? You know, it's tricky George.
Ms. Cornwell.
Sam, how about your 2 cents? That might be worth 4 or 5 cents.
You're next, ma'am. Step right on down. About the comp plan.
So the item for you today is consideration of adopting the 2018 comprehensive plan. At your last meeting, we did amend the future land use plan that has been updated. The plan has been updated with that revised map, and the council also approved the plus letter that was sent to the state for their review and consideration. So all of the updates have been made per all of the workshops, all of the comments we've received, all of the plus review that's all been updated to the plan, and the plan is for your consideration today.
I have a motion.
Well, first I think this one Mr. Moore needs to read the short title.
office.
Oh, that's right, we do that. I want to get this.
There is a minor amendment to that ordinance, just to reflect that it takes effect upon certification of the governor of the state of Delaware.
Oh, yeah, okay, right, got you.
So first, the short title is an ordinance adopting the 2018 comprehensive plan for Sussex County and repealing ordinance number 1980, the 2007 update of the comprehensive plan adopted June 24th, 2018.
When we started this process about 2.5 years ago, or however long it was, the timing at that point was we anticipated that council would be taking the last step on it after the certification of the governor. As this process has evolved and in working with the state, that's flipped a little bit. Council's going to hopefully adopt it, followed by certification of the governor. So section 4 of the ordinance just needs to reflect that. So I have a motion. Be it moved that section 4 of the ordinance is amended to reflect that the 2018 comprehensive land use plan becomes effective upon certification by the governor as follows, colon, quote, this ordinance shall take effect following its adoption by a majority vote of all members of the County Council of Sussex County, Delaware, and upon certification by the governor of the state of Delaware, close quote.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Mr. Arley, you'll second that?
Yes, sir.
Any questions on it? This is only the amendment we're voting on. Mm-hmm. We'll take the vote, Mr. Arley.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Did he say appeal? Did you say your appeal amendment?
No. The short title referenced repealing the prior 2007 plan. Right. So this new one will take effect, and that will automatically repeal the old plan.
So we're going back to the new one. We're going to appeal the old one.
It'll be the new one.
The new plan.
Your vote, sir?
My vote, yes.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Bobby, yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Then we'll read the short title as amended, an ordinance adopting 2018 comprehensive plan for Sussex County and repealing ordinance number 1980, the 2007 update of the comprehensive plan adopted June 24th, 2008, as amended by council.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? We will take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I will vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Could
thank
Mr. Wilson explain
you,
his no vote?
No,
for the benefit of the
thank everybody involved for all the hard work.
It was
a 2.5 year project.
Amen.
Great job.
Done for 10 more years.
Thank goodness. It'll be somebody different than to deal with, I can tell you. Okay, Ms. Cornwell, you're still up?
I'm still up. So the first item under old business is the amendment to the C4 zoning district. As we discussed at the last meeting, there were some minor changes we were looking at to make to the ordinance. The staff did do some research. We found that other ordinances are similar. Actually, they have a requirement that at least 20% of the residential needs to be at least single family. We've also looked at the density calculations, and they were all over the place. The majority of them were based on the land use class or the land use. So if you're going to base density on commercial, that was your density, and then the other portion was going to be based on the residential. So we did look at that. We did have staff kind of put together kind of an exhibit as to what, if you took 100 acres, what that would look like and kind of what could kind of fit into that area, just to provide some type of reference as to what the area could look like regarding residential and commercial.
Can you put that on the screen?
That's what I was thinking.
I'm sure you can. Would you put on the screen, please?
That's worth 1,000 words. Good picture.
Sam, we like pictures, don't we?
I'm just trying to think how to get there because I did not have that one prepped for this morning. I apologize.
It's all about more regulations.
Because I know it was included into your packet. It might be actually part of the
Well, I know it's in our packet. So
I've got it here. Where's Amanda?
I can actually get to the packet, so just give me a minute.
The restroom or
go ahead, George.
Got it, George.
Just thought we'd look at the screen that way. I know Mr. Burton asked this last week about comparing whatever percentage of that kind of stuff, so we'd have something to...
Makes sense.
Look at.
Good job.
As usual, you do good. There you go. Okay.
So this was just a rough kind of drawing, kind of just to give you an idea. If we had 100 acres, 65% could be, up to 65% could be residential. She did kind of a breakdown that you could have 156 single family, you could have up to 312 multifamily, which would be townhouses, apartments, and then you can see the 35% would be commercial, and you could get, you know, so multiple 87,000 square foot buildings. You could get multiple office buildings that were around 5,000 square foot. So she did kind of a breakdown of kind of each block was roughly about an acre and kind of what would fit into that regarding, you know, recognizing you have some parking, you'd also have to deal with stormwater management. But this is just kind of a general, we had a box that was 100 acres, what the breakdown would be kind of residential versus commercial.
Now that would, that be 156 plus 312 in that example? Would that be a total of 468?
Yes. So possible combination of housing types is a total of 780 units. That would be multifamily units. You could do you could do a mix of different types. Again, the proposed ordinance is to take out the single family. So this would all just be multifamily, so it would be apartments, duplexes, and townhouses.
Go back to your 700 number. I kind of took a step back on that.
Okay. So based on the overall acreage, it's 12 units to an acre, she calculated 780 units for residential.
So if that was just a straight 12 units to the acre, you could plug 780 units on that 100 acres.
On 100 acres.
And in this example, it would be 468 family units.
Correct.
Whether they're single family or multifamily.
Correct.
And then whatever you can put on the top of the pink.
You could, yes. Now that,
which wouldn't count.
Which again would not count, is what was the proposal from the Planning and Zoning Commission, is that the density, that the residential in the pink, because the intent is to have mixed-use buildings, that those units on would not count towards the residential percentage, which would, as proposed, is 65% from the commission.
Here's my question on that, is that I know that at the Village of Five Points, there were those units that have commercial below, mm-hmm. that very few people use, right? I'm not talking about the gym and the bakery. I'm talking about across the street from, like, Fish On. Those units are four stories, and the first one was proposed to be commercial.
Correct.
First story. But there's no commercial in there. So how do you count it if there's no commercial?
Well, the first floor is still a commercial use. While there might be a vacant building or vacant tenant space, it is still a commercial use. So
but nobody's using it as commercial.
Understood.
So really, it's just a unit.
Well, it's a commercial unit because they could not turn that into a residential unit because that is a requirement of the RPC, per my understanding of the Village of Five Points.
But you walk in the same door.
Right. In some instances for mixed use, you walk in the same door. Others, that you have a different entrance for the residential, so you can keep the residential entrance and the commercial entrance separate. It's all about the design and configuration of that building.
Yeah.
Question to the council?
I do.
Charlotte?
We had this brief conversation last week regarding if it counted or not counted. So if I recall, early last week, it was counted. Towards the end of the conversation, it was or did not count. Then after further clarification, it was said that it did count. Now you just said it does not count. So can we clarify what does, when you say it does or does not count, what are you referring to? The number
percentage.
Of units or the percent?
It's the percentage.
Okay. So, and IG, is that what you were referencing? I think you were referencing the units.
I was...
Or were you referencing the percent?
If you don't count it in the pink...
What's it?
Right, the residential.
The units.
The units.
Okay.
If you don't count the residential units of those in the pink, right, so they're just...
Correct.
Pre-density calculation. And then they don't become commercial, right, because the idea is commercial, you're already eating up the footprint, so why not...
Do a residential above.
Residential above. I understand that philosophy, but if the downstairs unit doesn't become commercial, then what you have is a lot of residential that you're not counting, right? I mean, I like the idea. I understand you have the commercial live, work, walk, blah, blah, blah.
So right? in the pink, you cannot have a residential unit by itself. It has to be a mixed use. So you could have a vacant commercial space, as you mentioned in the Village of Five Points, with residential above, but that is still a mixed use building. It's not you would only have an apartment building in the pink. You have to have the commercial with the residential above and the in the pink. That's what the Planning Commission did not want to count towards the percentage. Was
the percentage being the tan?
Correct.
The percent meaning
the 65%.
The land, the percent of the actual
units of the acre, or whatever the zone.
No, you're talking about density. We're not talking about
density. We're not talking about density. We're talking
about
percentage
of the land being used.
Correct. So you could have
the ground being used.
Well. There's a little bit of difference because you're going to have a mixed-use building, and the intent is that you could potentially have more residential over 65% because you would have apartments or condominiums on the second or third floor of a commercial building, and the intent was that's going to be considered commercial and not residential, and that was the understanding from the recommendation of the Planning Commission is that mixed-use building gets counted as a commercial building and not as a residential building. So it wouldn't count towards the 65% that you could have as residential.
But again, that percent is not the density.
Correct.
I think that's where the confusion is lying when you make that comment. That's not referencing density. It's only referencing, again,
the percentage.
The land mass, if you would, of the 100 acres, 65 acres, has to be residential only,
maximum.
Right? Maximum. And then the 35% is required to be commercial. And possibly have residential above it.
Correct.
That's the part that you were referencing.
So in this case, it could be straight out 65% residential, 35% commercial with no mixed-use building. But if somebody decided they wanted to do a mixed-use building in the commercial, that portion that is residential does not count towards the 65%. It's considered a commercial structure.
But the units above the commercial do count in the
density calculation.
Agreed, because they have. I mean,
so
has
your
to.
Overall density does not go over the 12 units to the acre.
In this example.
Correct.
Okay. Does that help?
I'm assuming that like all the state agencies weigh in on the total amount, right?
Yes, if this is a large enough development, it'll go through the standard plus process and our technical advisory committee for review and consideration.
And they're going to say this is a 12 unit to the acre subdivision in that example.
It could be, yes.
Because if you look at traffic counts and all that stuff, you have to count everybody that's going to the site, right?
Right. This is going to be reviewed like any, like you currently look at a residential RPC that has a small portion of commercial. This is similar to that because, again, this would be a change of zone application that you would be seeing the site plan for. So it would go through our standard review process with agencies.
Question to the council?
One more, Mike, if I may. And I think earlier you had stated that, or maybe it was IG, one of the two, had stated that that's in the proposed new ordinance that single family units are not permitted?
Correct.
So this is showing single family lots.
Just because the way the staff member was looking at it, they were just trying to give ideas and they...
But that's not permitted in the
correct,
new ordinance.
And again, there was a request to put the single family back in from members of the public.
And is that still of consideration?
That is up to council if you want to consider that.
Well, because as it is written right now, in the 65% of the land, no single families would be permitted.
Correct.
And if you and if you're adding the density to be a part of the commercial, i.e. on top of the commercial, right?
Correct.
And you're only required at that point, you still are only have the ability to have attached homes or villas or condos or whatever. It has to be attached, no single family units, correct?
You could do single family as a condominium, because that, for our consideration, single family as part of a condominium is considered multifamily.
Oh gosh, I hope that doesn't happen, because I know that some of those communities are just, that's really problematic. Southampton comes to mind instantly, but okay, all right, understood.
So you can get single family as long as you do a condo.
Correct.
You just block it up.
Yeah, and no fee
zero,
simple.
Zero lot lines?
It's but I got to, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's, you don't own the land.
Although to take single family out really is not taking single family out. We're only taking fee simple
single family
lots out.
Correct.
And why would that be permissible if you cannot have this, the fee simple single family detached? I mean, if the objective is what, why is it not permitted now?
I think the reasoning for it is because we did not want the entire residential to turn into single family residential, and then you'd have, so you'd have a large subdivision and then you'd have commercial. The intent was to get the apartments, the duplexes, the townhouses, the multifamily uses with that commercial, and not have the single family residential end up being, you have a single family residential subdivision with the commercial. That was the intent, so we could get the mix of uses.
I think the market would dictate that, wouldn't it? I mean, in general, I mean, was that the kind of the P&Z's input on that? They were suggesting that single family gets put back in there to allow that free market?
They did not recommend anything regarding putting the single family back in. They left that as being removed.
They did.
Correct. The recommendations coming out of the Planning and Zoning Commission were to increase the amount of residential to 65% and to not count the mixed-use commercial buildings towards the 65%.
But it doesn't do anything if you allow condo. You're defeating the purpose.
Right? You're talking about single-family condos,
if you
right.
really say what we want is a multifamily mixed unit deal, right? If that's the end game, say you're taking out the 156 single family lots, but you could replace it with a condominium association with 160,
right.
156 single family condos.
Right, defeats the spirit of the ordinance, right?
If that's the spirit that we want, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I don't like taking something out that can be put back in a different formula.
So upon the research that we did do, there were several ordinances that said there was a maximum percentage that you could do single family. So if you're going to allow single family, not more than a certain percentage could be single family.
Whether they be condo or...
Well, again, for us, condominiums are considered multifamily. So if you're looking at fee simple and you wanted fee simple, or you know, if you wanted a true mix of uses, you could say no more than single family, either condominiums or fee simple.
Fee simple, single family.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know, I find it fascinating. Cool. I just think that we're making single family housing sound like it's something that it's a negative. I think most people want single family housing. I think that single family housing is more positive to the community. It's a type of different type of ownership. The county should be encouraging as much single family housing as we can. It rides out the ups and downs of the marketplace better financially for an individual. It seems crazy that we would be trying to discourage single family housing. And I just look at this whole scenario and it's just, I don't know, I'm not real excited about it. I think, and I know it's
you know, part of the new scheme, but the 12 units to the acre, 780 units possible and all this stuff. What are the open spaces? How much open space would be on that 100 acres required by that ordinance?
There would be roughly between 20 and 30% open space required in the residential portion. 20 to 30%.
20 to 30, well, that's a range. I mean, what is it 20 or is it 30? I mean, I don't understand how that works. But anyway, so they're only in the residential part, there'd be open space. In the commercial part, there would be none. Is there a minimum parcel size that the C4?
3 acres.
Three?
3 acres.
So you can do something like this on 3 acres?
Correct.
Seems awful small. But anyway, this is what we got. I'm not real jazzed up about this whole thing. Just seems 780 units.
To your point, could we include, Mike, I'm sorry.
Anything you want to.
Could we include a percent, of fee simple single family? I mean, IG, is that kind of the road that you were thinking?
So answer the question again, I kind of lost it.
To George's point in the earlier conversation we had, it was suggested or mentioned that we could include a percent, right, required of the single family, not to exceed so much.
I don't know what's wrong with single family.
Well, why wouldn't the market just decide that, right?
Right.
I mean,
that's a good question.
I mean, right now they're not permitted. But that's the point.
Well, they're only permitted if you want to do condo. That's,
right.
That's my problem.
Detached multifamily.
Fee simple.
It's not fee simple, but it's just detached multifamily type of housing.
Which is a single family house.
Could be construed to be a single family, yes.
Oh, it is. That's what exists I know for certain with the Southampton community down in Ocean View.
So what staff could do is do a little bit more research, get you information about the other examples that we did pull that said single family would be permitted use, but have a maximum amount of single family, so we don't end up with, I think what is the intent, is we don't end up with an entire single family subdivision adjacent to some intense commercial. So we could look at that, get back to you next week, and provide you that information.
Well, couldn't a developer buffer his commercial from a residential subdivision?
Again, the intent of the C4 is to have mix of uses and in different types. Because the intent is this could also be impactful to reducing the amount of traffic on roads, improving, you know, community health, walkability, and other land use items.
Which sounds like there seems to be a concern about no fee simple single family on this C4. I think your suggestion is probably well taken. Maybe you should go back to your staff and review and come back with some suggestions on a percentage of or how that would work. And then the council, we can deal with this next Tuesday.
I think
one more
that,
time.
That
shot.
There's a minimum of 3 acres.
Correct.
Should there be a maximum?
There is no maximum in this ordinance, and there was no maximum proposed to do in this ordinance.
Well, what are your thoughts on putting a max on the
deal? I'm not sure there's a need to do a maximum acreage, because you could end up with a really large development that could take advantage of this, and you could have a very nice small, medium, or large size mixed-use development application come before the council for your consideration.
Well, should anything change with the open space and the buffers with this C4? Or is that something you can condition at the time of?
Because this would be similar to an RPC. This is an application, a change of zone that you can apply conditions upon. And this also does reference back to other sections of the code that do have requirements.
This is something we actually see a site plan.
Correct. This is the change of zone application that you see a site plan with.
Is everybody okay with her bringing back some suggestions next Tuesday?
Yes.
Right. One last shot.
Our last shot for all five of us, anyway.
I hear the Cinderbury, they got a lot of duplexes. So how come the duplex not appear?
Under our current RPC, we've always kind of permitted a mix. An RPC can come in, they get X amount of commercial space, and we saw Bear Trap, which I think ended up annexing. But they were going to do this, you know, village town center, which was the current trend and popular thing to do with big subdivisions, right? But they scrapped it because it financially wouldn't work. The one out there on the way to Milton forget the road, it was supposed to have this commercial, having restaurants and all that
Elizabeth
stuff.
Elizabeth Town.
Elizabeth, okay. I mean, most of these places, it sounds good in the textbook and everything else. Sounds good when you look at it up here, but it's not practical. And then even Americana Bayside, we tried to have their commercial inside off of the 54. Well, they came back later on and said, no, we got to get out on 54. Because when you put these commercial areas inside these subdivisions in this mixed thing, it doesn't work unless you're on a major roadway and stuff like that. So we've already been able to do this stuff for years, and many of them just weren't successful. They chose not to because it doesn't work. I don't think there's not enough people.
Well,
so it depends on the location on all this stuff. I mean, down, you get out in the middle of 24 somewhere, or Route 9, the middle of nowhere, and try to do something like this. So it's like the Five Points thing. It's a struggle to get businesses to locate in some of these locations.
Well, let me comment on that, and then Sam's got a question. But like the Americana Bayside RPC, right? They came in with something, right? It was a site plan, and then market conditions changed, and they came back and then changed.
Correct.
So this C4 would allow that as well.
Right. The C4 is intended to be a commercial district that would allow for residential. What you see in RPCs is a residential district that allows for a small amount of commercial. The intent of the C4 is a commercial district that could allow for up to a larger 65%, as recommended by the Planning Commission, of residential. It could be nothing but a commercial district. It would just come through as a site plan. Well, this proposed intent is to allow for people to use it as a mixed use with a larger percentage of commercial than you do see in the RPCs.
Well, I understand that. I just in the past, historically, they haven't been real successful, depending on the location of them. And it's all about locations.
Mr. Wills asked a question about duplexes. Are duplexes allowed in this?
Yes, they are.
That's a question. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
If you could bring that back to us next Tuesday.
We will do that.
We'll give her one last shot. And next, conditional use 2126.
So this is an ordinance for a conditional use for commercial vehicle storage and car sales located in the Dagsboro 100. This was deferred by the Planning Commission for a legal question regarding the nonconformity. I believe Mr. Moore has answered that question. So this is for your consideration.
Moore, will you read the short title
of that back? Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use plan in an AR1 agricultural residential district for commercial vehicle storage and car sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 9.54 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning number 1 through 4, with conditions 5A through H.
Have any amendments to?
Well, I
condition A or whatever.
When should we do it, now, or do we read something?
Don't do it now.
Okay, I got a couple issues. Like, there is a. Does everybody have this list of?
No.
There's some conditions. There's a conditional use. Here. There'll be a
condition 5A through H.
Looks like that, right?
Yep.
A through H, you got it on the thing there? Okay.
It's in the packet.
Right, it's in the packet. I'm just saying, here, I think somebody's passing them out sometimes. It's easier to look at the paper. There we go.
I'm good.
Okay. The first one, I've always understood that when you have a non-conforming or grandfathered use, that when we, you know, change the zone or they come in for something formal, they could have operated forever as a non-conforming use or a grandfathered in use, right? But then when they want to do and expand their services or their business or whatever, that's the time to bring it into conformity. The goal is to have all zonings be in conformity, not all these, you know, legalized non-conforming uses. So the first one, I'm concerned about the wording of that this conditional use merely gives formal approval to these long-standing uses. The grandfather in was what? It was basically the parking of the cars way up right on the highway?
with their setback? Yes, it was the use that was currently there is the auto sales, and then they also have parking within the front yard setback.
Right, and next door to it is a junkyard, which again has stuff right out to the roadway because it's another grandfathered in use. But if you go across the street, you've got a business that has been established for a number of years, Ocean View Plumbing and Heating. Beautiful building, very nice, well-maintained, sits back, meets the zoning code. Next to it is a veterinarian. He's sitting back, meeting the zoning code. I think anything else along there is in conformity. So the goal would be, in my opinion, not to legalize a non-conforming use, but to bring it into compliance, which basically the concern is, I think, would be the setback in the front, that the automobiles don't sit right on the roadway, because there's a reason we have a setback in the commercial district. So I think it ought to bring it into code. What would code be? What would be the code requirement?
The code does not allow for auto sales, parking of vehicles for sale or display within the first 25 feet.
25 feet. So there'd be a 25-foot setback, which is probably from me to Todd or somewhere, not too far. 25 feet's not much. So I would think that we ought to bring it into code that the cars are then parked 25 feet. So I would like to make that change. So I don't know if that's the place to put it in, Mr. Moore, because I don't just like the wording that we're giving formal approval to long-standing uses that aren't in compliance with the county code.
Well, it is currently.
Well, that's in the reasons.
Yes, that's in the reasons. That was not one of the conditions.
Okay.
It currently is a legal use because it's non-conforming.
No, I'm not disputing that.
But what you had indicated that there were, I think during the discussion, there were two issues that came up. One was the parking in front, as you indicated.
Right.
And if you wanted to add a condition that no vehicles for auto sales shall be parked in the front yard setback.
Which would be the 25 feet she just referenced.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that'd be fine.
That would be one potential motion that you can make.
Right.
Another that was discussed during the public hearing and discussion that came up afterwards, that the applicant shall be required to maintain and or plant, where necessary, a 20-foot tree buffer along all property lines which do not front on Vines Creek Road. No trees in the buffer area may be cut. A tree buffer shall not be required where applicant's 8-foot fence currently exists. Applicant shall maintain the fence in good condition at all times. And that was part of the discussion. The concern was beyond the fence, there was some area that was going to be cleared next to adjoining property.
The residential property.
And that you wanted to have a forested buffer, or if there was no forest there now, to plant a buffer there. For that.
So it's two different things.
That's two different items.
Are you able to be what then? You would be five.
That would we would add them to. We'd make a new. We'd have
5I and 5J.
That is correct.
And build them separately.
Yes, you can do or both same time, whichever is a preference.
You know the original grandfathered in use applied to what this whole acreage the people had or just the front part.
It applies to the entire property. The use only went to a certain portion of the property.
Right, it was up in the front, right.
And I would just like clarification. If you make the front parking within the front yard setback is 40 feet because the property is zoned AR1.
No, well, okay. But
that's what I heard, because if you didn't want the parking within in this for the display and the sale of the vehicles,
but
typically that is 25 feet.
In a commercial district.
Right, which is not the front yard setback, because the commercial front yard setback is 60 feet, so we just don't allow the sale or display of vehicles within the first 25 feet.
Right. No, I would say because the grandfathered in use of the commercial activity on this site has been long standing, that we apply the 25 feet, not obviously not the 45 feet. So that's where that condition would be.
Okay, I just want to make sure that
I'm looking at the setback in a commercially use as a commercial use as opposed to a residential use.
Are you saying the cars are parked too close to the road?
They're parked right on the road, yes, Sam. And you're not allowed to do it. Our code doesn't allow that. It's 25 feet back.
So you would want to amend that to no vehicles for auto sales shall be parked within 25 feet of the front right-of-way?
Was that, if that's a good way to describe it?
Mm-hmm. Is
In this example, Everett, is right-of-way the same as the road?
The right-of-way is beyond what the actual road is.
Whatever the state owns.
Right.
Where the state stops.
It's the property line.
That's the property line starts there.
Could be 35 feet.
From the road.
Right, exactly, right.
It's from a prop, we're going from the, we, the only thing we can do is from a property line, so I don't.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know where else we could go out and just pick out something, but.
Are those the two things you want to address?
Those are the two things that I would, I would like to address.
Okay, but, Mr. Burton, you have something?
Just, does this, your goal is to bring this from non-conforming to conforming?
As best we can.
Move it in that direction. Does it make it conforming with everything else, Janelle?
I think the parking in the front yard, and the parking in the display of the vehicles in the 25, first 25 feet is most likely the largest issue that would make it a non-conforming, because the conditional use also recognizes the storage of the vehicles, which is the new addition that the applicant wanted to use, and then the conditional use also included the car sales, and he also does work on vehicles at the property as well.
Okay, why don't we have Mr. Moore, if you'd read, let's just do one at a time. If you'd read the first one, the reference to 25 feet.
25 feet.
Yes. That one is, no vehicles for auto sales shall be parked within the 25-foot front right-of-way line.
Yep, I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Mr. Moore.
Yes, that should be within the 25-foot from the front right-of-way.
Okay.
In 25-foot. Why don't
you say front property, from the property line? Wouldn't that be front right-of-way and front property line? It's all the same, correct? I mean,
yes.
We measure things from property line, so I would.
Mr. Moore, read what you've going to write down here.
Okay.
Make that clear.
What we had stated before is no vehicles for auto sale shall be parked within 25 feet of the front right-of-way line. I don't think I read it right.
Okay.
A minute ago.
Right.
That's a motion, Mr. Cole.
Yeah.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on that? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
In the spirit of conformity, which I agree with on other matters, I would say yes.
Mr. Burton?
I agree.
Mr. Wilson?
I don't know why the cars can't be rolled back. Who's going to go out there and measure them anyway?
Staff will, if this is approved.
Enforcement is a separate conversation.
Are we going to hire somebody to go out and measure these cars, see how far away from the line?
No.
It's just what everybody else in the county has to do.
Your vote is, sir, yes or no?
I'm going to point George, go by and check the distance, how far back there.
What's the vote?
What is your vote?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes.
I'll vote yes. Now, Mr. Moore, we have another amendment.
Yes. The second one is, applicant shall be required to maintain and or plant, where necessary, a 20-foot tree buffer along all property lines which do not front on Vines Creek Road. No trees in the buffer area may be cut. A tree buffer shall not be required where applicant's 8-foot fence currently exists. Applicant shall maintain the fence in good condition at all times.
The fence, Janelle, is
that's it, right?
Between
okay.
The junkyard and the current property we're talking about, correct?
Yes, it's okay, in this area somewhere.
Right. And that junkyard, I don't know if they're allowed to keep growing larger and larger, but you should see they have the potential to keep going back anyway. So it just trees in the other areas which abut residential properties.
So who's your card?
That motion, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, so that's the basic intent.
Right. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on this motion?
Who's your
yes.
card to put the trees in?
The property owner.
The applicant will
the
be.
One. The applicant. The person asking to have this done. Mr. Arlett, question.
Could you, on the map, show what this change, where it will impact the property? I mean,
so if the fence is allowed to remain, the existing fence would remain, and then the trees would be planted back here. He could keep those existing trees, plant trees back here, trees over here, and then over here, unless there is a fence on that side.
I think there is.
So if there's an existing fence, it's
then,
not required.
Then
so.
Trees are not required. If there is no fence, then any, trees are required.
Trees are required to be planted on all sides of the property.
Except for the road frontage.
Except for the road frontage.
Correct.
And if and that's the part that I would question. And I agree with the spirit, but if you look at the property, I mean, there's nothing back in the rear of that property. There's nothing. And to require somebody to be planting trees at the expense when there's nothing there,
That's actually the area the applicant wanted to store the vehicles.
Where?
Back in the back?
In the back.
In the back.
He's starting to bring vehicles all back here?
Vehicles, the large equipment storage was going to be in the back of the property because he was going to keep the existing auto sales and the repair, and the addition was for...
He was leasing space, Rob, to contractors to be able to park their large vehicles back there, so you're going to have who knows what back there. So, and if they're operable, nobody's going to go out and check that. But anyway, it's just, again, it's to protect the residential values of the people who live next door to this.
So we got Bill Festus covered.
We don't have to, no, Sam.
Well, let me finish, George.
We don't have to.
Thank you.
Wilson, you got the
floor. In other words, we're going to build a fence just cover the junkyard for somebody else. The applicant's got Bill Fence just cover.
We're not building any fences. It's only trees where there is no fence.
Just some trees.
There's some fence there today. There's a fence there, it stays.
Fence there now.
No fence, that's where you put the trees.
So we got to plant trees so that
they have to hide
the junkyard
for the other people next door.
For other people.
That's correct.
Well, junkyards aren't very pretty. You would understand that.
Well, that's
knowing where you live.
Well, that's not very fair for the other, for the owner that wants to build a cover up junkyard beside of him. That's ought to be his decision. If that's the kind of junk he wants to cover up.
There you go. That's the point.
Is the parcel next door the junkyard? What is that? What is that zoned?
I believe it's also zoned. Let me, before I say the wrong thing. It is zoned AR1. That it's a non-conforming junkyard that has been there for a very long time.
Oh, that's been there forever, right?
Yes.
And if they ever get a rezoning, we'll try to bring them into conformity. And someday it may change.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
This is just on this.
We're going to vote on this amendment only, which is if there's a fence there, the fence stays. If there's no fence, they got to plant trees around three sides of the property.
The buffer for the residential areas, yeah.
The buffer.
Just cover up the...
Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Buffer boy.
I will... I mean, I understand that the spirit of the request. I do believe there's parts of that parcel that will add an added expense to the property owner, especially the one that's up next to a junkyard. So it's not really residential; it's a junkyard. So does that make sense in itself in the spirit of what we're trying to achieve here?
In the other areas, not that.
Well, that's not what was just stated.
The fence is already there between the junkyard and this property.
Not all the way back.
Correct. And my understanding is the fence does not go all the way back to the property line the west side.
It may not go all the way back. You're right.
Charlotte.
I mean, do we have the ability to require this only whereas it's a strictly residential property? I mean, the junkyard is zoned as an AR1. As I presume as a conditional use, right?
No.
It's just AR1.
It existed prior to zoning.
Got it.
Non-conforming, just like this was.
But again, I understand. So, I mean, for example, like the parcel, I guess, to the east.
Residential?
Is residential, correct?
Correct.
Only. So that makes sense. Does it make sense to put it on the junkyard side? Mm-hmm. At that added expense for really no reason, as the way I see it.
In other words, let the junkyard pay for it. If they want it.
Well, no, but
it's already there.
So you're saying that one property line all the way down from Vines Creek Road back, straight back, adjoining the contiguous to the junkyard, no fences needed, no buffer needed or something, whatever.
You're talking about the
straight back.
The junkyard one.
Yeah, I'm just on that east and west side.
I see
what
why.
You're saying?
I see
Mr.
why.
Charlotte, I'm pretty sure that, I'm guessing, maybe Janelle, I think it was proffered by the applicant.
Yeah, I think he did, but
it's been about 6 months and I do not recall off the top of my head, but there was discussion that he wanted to save some of the trees, and I think he was going to end up doing something because he wanted to do something adjacent to the junkyard next door because he wanted to make sure that their stuff was not coming onto their property. That's my best recollection. Yes, thank you.
That should be his choice.
It's been a few months.
Now we're back to vote again, Mr.
I know. I will vote yes.
Mr. Burke. I will
vote yes.
I'm in favor of the fence and the buffer around the property.
Mr. Wilson.
I'm not in favor. I'm not in favor of putting the fence up there. In other words, it's not fair to break his arm. I have to pay for it.
Okay. Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I'll vote yes.
for the change.
Oh, yeah, motion carried. Now, Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title again.
Yes, sir.
An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for commercial vehicles, storage, and car sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 9.54 acres more or less for reasons 1 through 4 and conditions 5A through J as amended by council.
Pleasure, council.
So moved, Mr.
Motion,
President.
Mr. Cole.
With changes as amended.
Second, Mr. Burton. To approve conditional use number 2126 for the reasons and the conditions as amended. We're now going to take the vote. Mr. Cole.
Yes, because I feel that the non-conforming grandfathered use will be able to continue. Their operation there has now expanded to other uses, and this will help bring it into conformity with other commercial type activities.
Similar.
I will also say yes per planning zoning's recommendation as amended.
Mr. Burton.
I'm in favor of the motion as amended.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I also agree with the conditions placed as amended. I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
I suppose I'd vote yes as long as I'm against the amendments.
There you go.
That's been provided.
And next we have change of zone 1855. I thought somebody wouldn't defer this.
I would like to defer this.
Okay, motion, Mr. Burton.
Second,
Mr. Cole, to defer 1855 until next week. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Cole, Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have yet. Motion carried. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Grant request, Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first one is Beacon Middle School Band. They're requesting $4,000 to assist with the transportation of 150 band members to attend a festival. There have been no past grants to this organization for this event. Mr. Burton placed on the agenda.
Mr. Cole, this is in your district.
Oh,
I did it for you.
You did it for me. Well, I appreciate it. Yes. That's nice. I would like to, you know, middle schools are part of the school system and things, and they do have a source of financing and sources of revenue and different things, and of course they do some fundraising. So I just think that the county council ought to support their choir's travel expenses to the tune of, I'd like to offer $500 from my account and $500 from Mr. Burton's account.
I agree.
So it'd be $1,000.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Burton. To grant $1,000 to Beacon Middle School for the choir's travel expenses, being $500 from Mr. Burton's account and $500 to Cole's account. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
And the next one is the same thing. One was for band, one was for choir. They're two different groups of students going to the same festival.
Similar, I'd like to offer another $500 grant out of my financial pot of money.
And Mr.
Burton, $500 also from his little pot of gold.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Burton.
Yes.
To grant $1,000 to Beacon Middle School for the band's travel expenses, being $500 Mr. Cole's Council Mac account, $500 Mr. Burton's Council Mac account. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I'll be at motion carried. Then next.
Okay, the last one is Delaware Lions Foundation. They're requesting $3,000 to assist with the humanitarian service projects. This organization supports 36 Lions clubs in Delaware with their services within the respective communities through matching grants to use revenue received from grant applications in each county to support these projects throughout the county. Last grant received was $2,310, which was a human service grant. There was no council grants in the past. I would recommend doing the same as the $2,310, which would be $462 per council member.
Okay. Have a recommendation.
Move to do the same.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. To grant the Delaware Lions Foundation for Humanitarian Service Projects the amount of $2,310.
You got it.
And that being divided equally by the five Council Mac districts. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
I believe that's the organization should be raising their own money, give out money.
Okay. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I was also a president of the Lions Club one time, so I think that's the way I thought it should be done.
Okay. Is your vote yes or no on this?
No.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Proposing ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's one. It's in Mr. Burton's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an event venue to be located on certain parcels of land lying being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.6408 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Burton introduces it.
I see that.
Council member comments. Council member comments. Probably not many today, but I'm sure we'll have some comments next week.
If nobody's going to, I will.
Mr. Arlette, don't disappoint us.
I will not. I shall congratulate Woodbridge High School.
There you go.
For their D2 championship, and also, of course, Sussex Central High School for their D1 football state championship. And I think we need to acknowledge them here now, and hopefully, if they're able to be here next Tuesday, that would be great.
They are working on getting
Getting all those teams in here.
Maybe we're not getting both football January. Teams and both field hockey teams.
Yeah,
here
yeah,
next
exactly.
Tuesday.
Cape and
it's gonna be a long day.
Be a busy room there.
and thoughts and prayers go out to President Herbert Walker Bush and his family, and the loss of our president, 41st president, I should say, and as a country mourn his loss tomorrow.
Good comments. Thank you, sir. Any more council member comments?
It'd be a former president, wouldn't it, Mr.
He's a former president. Mr. Well, they all refer to his president, Toby. Yeah,
once a president, always a president. Once a councilman, always a councilman,
well,
Sam Wilson.
We know it's not Mr. Trump died, so we say
that's
the president died.
That's
so
true.
You got to say former president, shouldn't we?
Any more council member comments? Council member comments.
We even call Sam on.
Entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending litigation and land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion,
second.
Mr. Arlette. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in executive session downstairs.